Welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for sticking with us on this Friday. What's led to this Friday morning? We do appreciate it. A quick programming note. Coming up on Monday, State Representative Shane, Jennifer Fidler. I think it's her turn this week coming up on Monday. Also, Del Jackson, WVNN. So make sure that you tune in on Monday for Monday's broadcast. Joining us now on the program, my pleasure to introduce our returning champion, State Senator Chris Elliott. Senator, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. Doing great. It's a beautiful day here in South Alabama.
Hey, thanks for making time for us. We do appreciate it. I've been dying to ask you this question all week. If you've been listening to the show or not. So, interesting thing about the West Alabama corridor, and we're talking about permitting and why are they doing it the way they're doing it, and why aren't they going through the federal government, and why aren't they trying to get federal money? And one of our truck driver listeners says it's simple, that if they take federal money, the load limit on the road is much lower, and by thereby taking the route and not taking the federal money and doing it their own way, these heavy trucks, I don't know, hauling aggregate or hauling timber or whatever, could go up to 90,000 pounds because it's not a federal road. What do you say to that?
So I'm not a truck driver, and that's not something I deal with, in my truck on a regular basis. So I'm not 100% sure of that, but I'll tell you, there have been a number of pieces of legislation that have come through here in the last couple of years that have dealt with weight limits. So I feel like I have, some basis of knowledge on that, and I'm not sure that's all accurate, frankly. The limits on most roads are 80,000 pounds. That's going to be the limit on the interstates, too. There's about a 10% overweight grace that is allowed on those roads, except for interstates. That is allowed, and that most truckers, log trucks and other truckers, use that grace. They want to get as much as they can, obviously. So 10% times the 80,000 gets you up to 88,000 pounds, which is close to that 90 number your listener was talking about. But that's that 80,000 pounds, the no grace, 10%, really only applies to interstates, is my understanding. And I don't think it's tied to federal money being on a road or not being on the road. I think the reason this administration is not looking for federal money, not going down the permitting path to obtain federal money or even be able to use federal money, is because it takes longer to go through that permitting process, and time is their enemy right now. They want to do what they can do while they're still in office, because they know the future administrations will likely not move along with this, just like the last 70 years of governors have not seen this as a priority.
What, tell me this, is there anything the governor could do, right, the current governor, that would force the next governor to have to finish the project, to force, because you see this in federal government sometimes, well, why can't you just undo what Obama did? Well, it's not that easy. Is there anything she can do to force the next governor to be on the hook to finish her highway?
Yeah, I think that the answer to that is complete a whole bunch of it in the next 2+ years. And if she's able to do that, then you almost kind of say, well, shucks, I don't agree with it, but let's just finish the corridor, because they've already spent so much money on it that we just might as well just go ahead and finish it. The utility argument for this project only, in my mind, really has merit when you think of it as a corridor, when you think of it as a place to get from A to B, and not necessarily that there's the traffic need, locally on that road, but rather we're going to this other point, this other destination, and therefore, this makes sense. Look at our interstates that go through Alabama, whether it's 85 or 65 or 10. A lot of that is going through some very, very rural areas of this state, which, by the way, don't have a lot of economic development, but that's a different conversation. But when they're going through that area, the utility, again, is, of course, that they're connecting to points. So if this governor can get to a point where a lot of this work is completed under their administration, then I think that the next governor begrudgingly may have to look and say, this thing's 80% complete, and, you know, we might as well just finish the darn thing, even though that's certainly not a priority, and move along. But I think it's going to be very hard for this governor to get to that point. Road projects take time, and they're not moving near as fast as I think they want to in order to get this done.
Yeah, because, what we've learned from this administration with the big construction project is nothing's really going as they say it or planned it to go, is it?
It's not. Whether that's prisons or I-10 or West Alabama or a whole bunch of other things, no, it's not moving as quickly as they think. You know, huge cost overruns on all of those projects, huge changes. I mean, we've just entered the design phase when the governor signed the contracts for West Alabama. Just now entered the design phase of this project. They still got to design this project. They've still got to finish up right-of-way acquisition, and that doesn't even start a utility relocation. You know, I mean, that's a huge part of road construction is moving existing utilities. All of that is going to take time, and again, you know, depending on how fast this governor is able to move, may depend on whether or not the project moves forward in the long term. And again, as I've said before, I think the big Achilles heel for this project, for those that are in West Alabama and are advocates of this project, is the lack of an additional funding source. If it had federal money involved in it, then I think you would see state lawmakers and future governors much more willing to continue to invest minimal state dollars in it, as opposed to the 100% state dollars that this governor's trying to use.
So what are they looking at here? Like, when are we going to start turning over dirt and clearing trees and that sort of thing and doing work? I mean, is any of that going on yet?
Yeah, I think that part will go pretty soon. I mean, they know where the road's going. They've acquired some right-of-way. So you'll see the beginning phases of clearing and grubbing that can be done prior to design work happening, right? They've drawn the line, on the earth that says this is where we're going to go. There's nothing that says they can't go cut down trees on land that they already own through condemnation that they've acquired, and start cutting those trees down, start, you know, doing the clearing and grubbing process, start the utility relocation project process. They can do that during the design phase of this design build contract. So it may look like things are happening, but they're very early stage things, again, like cutting trees down and moving utilities. But that can take a long period of time before you ever get into really actually constructing the road.
I mean, here we are. We're on the eve of 2024. You got all of 2024, 2025, and I guess 2026 all the way till the end of the year. I mean, 3 years doesn't seem like that's going to quite do the trick to me. I mean, this is 70 miles of road, right? I mean, that would take 5-6 years typically.
I think you, in all fairness, I think the likelihood that you see a portion of this get built is good. Small segments, the Aldott of the administration has said something about letting this in 11 to 13 different segments. And I think, you know, you've already got the Linden bypass, which cost like $53 million to construct. That portion of it is done already. So I think you will see small segments of this done. The question is just how many and how far and how fast. And then what does the next administration do when it looks at what we've done so far, and do we need to continue to put money in this project, or are there other priorities for a new governor?
Well, it looks to me like just some of the roadway, existing roadway, is going to be used, and they're just going to widen it. How that doesn't seem like that's a relatively heavy lift. Couldn't they get that done as well?
They can. But the portions where we're talking about going from two lanes to four lanes, you know, especially in a divided highway situation, is essentially new right of way, you know, all the trees, all the utilities. You're building another two-lane road on the other side of an existing two-lane road. And that's pretty involved. And I think your 5 to 7 years to total completion is pretty good. And you just got to wonder whether or not the next governor is going to have that much interest in this project. Again, when you start looking at how it's being funded without any federal funding, and how you're going to be able to explain to other lawmakers, other communities all across the state, we don't have any money because we spent it all in West Alabama.
joined by State Senator Chris Elliott, our returning champion here on the program. What's this I see about you taking your dog to work there, Senator? What kind of breach of protocol are we entertaining here?
You know, that's one of those things where I think I'm going to ask for forgiveness instead of permission. You know, kind of a fun story. You know, Jeff, that oftentimes I get to take my kids to school in the boat in the morning. Well, it was a little chilly the other morning, and my son actually didn't go to school, so he was sick. So the back seat was empty, and when loading up the car to go to take my daughter to school and then take me and stuff to Montgomery, I had opened the back of the truck up to load stuff up and had a stowaway. So my black lab on my black seats in the truck kind of blended in, and she was quietly there until we had gotten far enough down the road that I was going to be late if I turned around and took her back. And I just, in the haste that all parents understand in the morning of loading kids up to go to school, making sure everybody's got their lunch and backpacks and after school activity clothes and everything else, we missed a sleeping black lab in the back of the truck who was perfectly content having already ate my bagel that I had intended to eat later on that morning. And so she went to the state house with me. She was a big hit and got to see a lot of folks. She's a very calm dog, so that's very helpful. But I think she brightened some folks' days, which is always a good thing.
My dogs, no chance they would be calm enough to go to the Alabama State House. Next question. New majority leader, Steve Livingston, Senator Schofield stepping aside. Talk a little bit about the change, if any, that you expect.
You know, I saw Senator Livingston in meetings yesterday, committee meetings that we had together. He's hitting the ground running. I think he's going to do a fine job. Sorry, we're going to miss Senator Schofield. He and I kind of politically came up together, right? We're the same age. He's a month older than I am. So going back to 2010, I was active in Republican politics. He was just getting elected. I've actually found an old picture of us back from 2010 or so together. So that he was as thin as he is now, and I was a lot thinner. But anyway, he's been around for a long time. He's done a lot of good work. It'll be curious to see what kind of impact he's able to make at BCA. It's an interesting hire for them. He's certainly a creature the legislature understands it well and will be able to, in his new role, figure out how to help BCA with those relationships while staying out of conflict with whatever ethics opinion they've got. So it'll be curious to see how that all unfolds.
At BCA, and I've been saying this all week, I mean, I think they were kind of sliding a little. I think bringing in Schofield, no matter what you think of it and the ethics in question, but it's a smart move for those guys, right?
I think it really is. I mean, and I think it's a realization that in the last, couple of years, just really even since Billy Canary's departure, their interface with the legislature just felt different. It felt different with Katie Britt there, and it's felt different with Helena Duncan there. And that may have been by design, frankly. Billy was very, very, very involved. Some may even say too involved in day-to-day activities of what the legislature is doing and the business community's interest in them. And so sometimes that pendulum swings from one end to the other, and I think they're probably headed back to finding where their sweet spot is, if you will, to represent the interests of the business community.
Yeah, and the Billy Canary days at BCA, I mean, they were kind of like the bookend, if you will, back when the AEA was sort of, in the catbird seat, right? And there was this balance, right? And then AEA kind of slides back a little after the 2010 cycle. And BCA still, they got the war paint and all this, and they know how to win elections. But, after time, then it becomes less about that. And just more about getting what you need, what your members need through the Alabama legislature. And I think that's why at some point they had to kind of shuffle the cards there and do some different things.
Sure. I mean, any organization that's powerful and kind of front of the pack has to have a good foil, right? You have to have the counterpoint to your point. You have to have somebody to fight. And when the AEA kind of evaporated, if you will, now some would say it's made a resurgence, but when the Paul Hubbard days, if you will, were, you know, kind of went by the wayside, and Henry Mabry days went by the wayside, you know, who was the foil? And so you had, you know, the AEA on that side. You also had trial lawyers on that side, and BCA was kind of the stop against all of that. You know, the AEA, was decapitated, if you will, and then the trial lawyers, heck, they all turned into Republicans overnight.
They're like been reading their Ayn Rand or something, the trial lawyers. I mean, it's like just a total ideological shift in like 5 years.
I think that you know, those are very smart people. They saw the writing on the wall and they said, let's go, let's just be chameleons here. And in there, I'm not going to defend trial lawyers except for to say, when I've needed them to work with me on things like dram shop reform and other liability issues, you know, they may have done it begrudgingly, but they've worked with us. And so I don't have any hard feelings there. It's interesting how it's all evolved.
Yeah, because like business is going, I mean, I don't think business in Alabama is going woke, but it's certainly not right wing, right? Maybe a little left of center, but the trial lawyers have moved like to, you know, they filled the vacuum left behind by what the business community used to be in Alabama. So it's like this weird kind of shifting of sides, it looks like.
It's definitely different than it was in 2010 and the years before 2010 when the Republicans took over. And then once that transformation took place, you know, you saw that kind of stick around for the next quadrennium or two. And then that was it. It was transformation complete. This is the new regime. You know, we went from Republicans not having been in power for 136 years in the Alabama legislature to a super majority in both houses. And that was just a very interesting and abrupt, I would say, shift. Now, you start looking at some folks that still serve in the legislature that used to be Democrats, and you got to wonder, you know, it's not just the lobbyists that have managed to change quickly over time. The elected officials certainly have done that as well, and we've let them.
Senator, got to leave it there. We're out of time, but we always appreciate your appearance every week about this time on this show, and we'll do it again next week.
Sounds good. Y'all enjoy this beautiful weekend.
That was State Senator Chris Elliott there. Let's get a timeout in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. I learned the path to heaven. Just full of sinners and